This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. Travel Tuesday, that's coming up at 12:39. And flying electric cars, that's a possibility, as one outfit has teamed up with Fiat Chrysler. Americans spent a record amount of money on online shopping during the holidays. We're joined by Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide. Jan, I mean, I think we knew, especially in a pandemic, that this was going to happen, but is the amount, the volume, the amount of money spent online, is that in any way surprising?
Well, every year for the last 20 years, we spent more online than we did the year before. This year was an extraordinary gain, of course, because that was also fueled by COVID. But the trend was already in place, so it's not too surprising that we saw these big numbers. A lot of the companies that I follow, the ones that are mall-based and selling apparel and specialty things like that, they're actually 50% online this holiday season, as opposed to the 30 or 35% you've been reading about with sales in general. So, yeah, it's enormous change.
Now,
but
these
sales were good for the holiday. They were up about 3% in total.
And that's why I'm wondering if this now, you've talked about this on the show, it's basically speeding up something that was happening already. So will we just continue to see these online numbers grow?
We will. Some people are saying, gee, we'll see retrenchment. But since we've never seen retrenchment, even 1 year out of the last 20, and despite this one being fueled by COVID, I think we've just reached a new plateau and we'll go up from here. There's a few people that think we may actually drop back a little bit and start climbing again from there. I don't think so. I think we've got a new base and we'll grow from there, because I've always thought that half of all retail sales would be online by 2030. Now I think that's more like 2025 or 2026. And given what we saw here in the holiday season, that could easily happen, because once you start buying online, you just keep buying online. And once a product goes online, it just keeps growing online as a percent of the total sales.
Yeah, and is that helped by the fact that everyone used to think of online as you order it and it shows up at your door, but now there are so many outfits where you can order online and then go pick it up at your convenience. Does that only help there to be more online transactions?
Well, yeah, that's why I quit calling them online transactions. They're either digital transactions or physical. Physical transactions are when you're standing in the store buying something at the counter. Digital is everything else. And so whether you pick it up at the store or drive to the curb or order it and it comes here the next day, that's all still just a digital transaction. That's the way retailers are starting to think about it. Because, you know, Target's a good example. 95% of their digital transactions are actually coming out the front door of the store.
Does that actually allow mom and pop stores to get in on the action? Because as long as they have some sort of a connection where people can make an order, well, they can just set things up for people to pick up.
I used to believe that the best thing for the internet was that mom and pops would be able to play against the big guys. It has absolutely turned out not to be true. The big guys have been so good at it, and it's so expensive to do business online, and the shipping is expensive, and you've got to build that into the cost. And the people that have really benefited have been the really big players: Amazon, Walmart, Target, people like that that can afford the investment and handle the logistics. So can you get online and you can sell it through Amazon? Sure, you can do that kind of stuff. But if you're really going to do it yourself and not go through a third-party portal like Amazon or through Walmart or somebody, it's really hard. If you want to go through a third-party portal, then, of course, you've got to play by their rules as well. So it's not been the great thing for mom and pop I thought it would be.
Thanks so much, Jan Rogers Niffin, CEO of J. Rogers Niffin Worldwide. Just ahead, the buzz from this year's virtual Consumer Electronics Show, and later in the show, 12:39, Travel Tuesday, some places you can travel with the family in 2021. The latest in electronics and appliances on display during this year's virtual edition of the Consumer Electronics Show. Let's find out what's hot. Mike Abt, co-president of Abt Electronics in Glenview. Mike, it is good to have you on the show. So from what you're seeing, what is hot and what are people going to be finding in stores soon?
5G is driving the phone market. You know, it's just getting going, but that's still the talk of CES as it was last year. Bigger TVs are really the strongest thing at CES. So Samsung is showing this really beautiful mini LED TV that is 110 inches, real bright. It's their competitor to the OLED product.
Well, actually, let's talk about TVs for a moment, because I think people, they already have a nice TV. It's big. They like it. The picture is clear. Help us to understand the changes in the new TVs, the ones just being unveiled. I mean, what is it that makes these better than what are already in our homes?
They're just better pictures. You know, there's more 8K products, and they're just built better. They're bigger. And there's some little features that make a big difference, too. But overall, they're just sharper TVs. They keep getting better, sharper. This will be the first year that TVs go up in price instead of down.
Hey, well, now, what's behind that? Is that supply or features, or what's behind that?
Yeah, that's supply. That's COVID. And that's really the price of the panels have gone up. So that's going to get passed on to everybody.
What's going on with gaming? A lot of people are stuck at home and have been for months now. I imagine gaming's been hot. What are we seeing at CES?
The hottest product has been the virtual reality glasses. And, you know, you can't see them. You know, you're just looking at a screen now. You're not going there. Part of the sadness of not having a CES show is you can't touch product. A lot of people are going into different accessories.
Yeah, one of the things that I saw this, and I wonder if you did too, the sort of see-through refrigerator, you know, where you don't have to open it up anymore in order to see what's inside. I don't know if that's good or bad or people want it, but it sounds like that's something that's out there now.
Yeah, that's a neat product. They've showed that for a few years, the glass panel that you could look through. And now LG came out with a three-door fridge that you knock on the door and you can see in and see what food you have so you don't waste energy opening the fridge. But the neater part of that fridge, I think, is it makes round ice cubes, spherical ice cubes, so you can put it in your cocktails. No one's ever done that before. So that's what I like about that LG fridge more than anything.
Yeah, lots of neat features, lots of neat items. Always fun to have CES, although it is virtual this year. Not everyone gathering like they used to. Thanks so much, Mike Abt, co-president, Abt Electronics in Glenview. Just ahead, Ben & Jerry's takes on the pet treat market.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Ben & Jerry's has developed frozen dog treats called Doggy Desserts. They'll be sold at grocery and pet stores. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil, kind of give us an idea. What's Ben & Jerry's doing here?
Well, Cisco, it really goes back to 1978, when they were one of the first employers, when they first started, that said, hey, guys, bring your pets to work with you. And now it's become pervasive. So what they've decided to do is introduce new frozen dog treats. They're called Doggy Desserts, of course, from Ben & Jerry's. And as you said, they'll be sold both in grocery and in pet stores. And what's so interesting to me about this is, you know, we've always heard that you shouldn't give your dog, you know, peanut butter. Well, you can give your dog peanut butter, but it has to be a certain kind of peanut butter, and it has to be in limited doses. So what they have is they have two flavors that they're launching with. One is peanut butter with a pretzel swirl. That's called Ponch's Mix. And the other one is pumpkin and mini cookies, which is Rosie's batch. And Ponch and Rosie are both dogs of Ben & Jerry's employees.
Yeah, so that's really how they get the idea. They see what their employees are doing around the office, and they say, hey, maybe there's more people like this.
Exactly. And keep in mind, I mean, pet food is a big business. If you look at Chewy, Chewy.com, the pet pet food and pet products online store, has grown over 220% in the past year. Their market value is about $39 billion. 67% of all U.S. households, about 85 million families, have a pet. And also, when we look during the pandemic, we're seeing more people getting pets to keep them company because they're at home more. So the reality is that we love our pets. We want to take care of our pets. And now they've got their own ice cream. It comes two ways, either a mini cup or four packs. The mini cup is $2.99. The four pack is $4.99. And frankly, they're just jumping on the trend that Walmart is now selling pet insurance. They have dog walking and pet sitting services available through Walmart. So it's a really smart idea, and I would assume, knowing Unilever, who owns Ben & Jerry's, that this is a whole new category for them, which can really grow abundantly. And also, one thing I forgot to mention that's so important, instead of using normal ingredients of dairy products that can be rough on a dog's stomach, they're actually using a sunflower butter base. So even our dogs are getting plant-based foods.
Yeah, even they're eating healthy. Thank you so much, Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, Ben & Jerry's new frozen dog treats. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, planning family trips for 2021.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A Chicago area congressman has a beef with colleagues after contracting COVID-19. The federal government pushes coronavirus vaccinations for people over the age of 65. In Travel Tuesday, families are considering trips together and also apart when it is again safe to travel. Fiat Chrysler finds a partner for its flying car project. On the markets, the Dow up 17, NASDAQ is up 16, and the S&P down 2 points. Oil is up 1.25%. Sunshine, blue skies all day long, heading to a high of 37, and we are just about there. Right now, 34 at O'Hare, 36 Midway, and 35 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. North Shore Democratic Congressman Brad Schneider says he's tested positive for COVID-19. That word comes 6 days after he was holed up for hours in a room in the Capitol with colleagues who, some of whom, refused to wear masks. WBBM's Mike Krauser reports.
Congressman Schneider said he's in isolation, feeling no symptoms yet, and he's angry at what he calls the selfishness and arrogance of the anti-maskers who put their own contempt and disregard for decency ahead of the health and safety of their colleagues. Video shows the Republican congressman being offered and refusing masks. Schneider said in a statement he's now concerned about his wife's health. He goes on to say we can no longer tolerate members coming to the floor or gathering in the halls of Congress without doing the bare minimum to protect those around them. He said they should be sanctioned and immediately removed from the House floor for their reckless endangerment of their colleagues. Mike Krauser, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
The Trump administration is asking states to speed delivery of COVID-19 vaccines to people older than 65 and others at high risk by no longer holding back the second dose of the two-dose shots. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says they want states to open up vaccines to everyone older than 65 and get the vaccines to more people. It's 12:32.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Republic Bank of Chicago. The markets, not much movement. The Dow up 28, NASDAQ is up 23, the S&P is down just 1 point. Let's see what's going on. Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management. Vahan, always good to have you on the show. What do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Well, as you said, the major indexes are relatively flat, but the Russell 2000 is up very strongly. So this looks like a continuation of the trend we started seeing at the end of last year, where people seem to be rotating from these large cap, expensive technology stocks into the value areas and the small cap areas. So this is a trend that's been going on probably since about October, and I expect it to continue.
What's behind that? What do you think is leading to the trend?
You know, that's a very good question. I don't know if investors have finally come to their senses and decided that some of these stocks have become way too big and way too expensive, and obviously trees don't grow to the sky. And perhaps they think, you know, some of these other sectors look incredibly cheap by comparison. You know, we're even seeing strength in energy. This is perhaps the biggest surprise, because the conventional wisdom was that if Joe Biden got elected president, this would be very bad news for energy stocks, especially carbon energy stocks. Yet we've seen some very strong rallies there. You know, ExxonMobil has been rallying very strongly. Some of the smaller companies in that area have also been rallying strongly.
And so going forward, then, you think investors are saying there's only so much a president can do in that regard? Why do you think those stocks have been strong?
Well, you know, the bottom line is that we will be dependent on oil for quite a while. I do believe that this transition to clean energy is real, and it will go on. However, we will continue to be dependent on oil for a while. Oil had become very cheap, and we will see that, you know, it makes sense to buy these stocks when they are this cheap. Now, I'm not saying that it's a great investment for the next 30 years, but I think if you're looking for the next year ahead, you know, it makes sense to buy some of these oil companies that have very strong dividends.
Do you think twice about some of the tech stocks, given you have, and you've discussed it and you mentioned it earlier, you know, some of these valuations seem a little bit out of whack. Do you give them a second thought, or is that where the growth is?
Well, yeah, clearly there is growth there. I mean, there's no question that a company like Tesla, for example, will be selling more vehicles. So there is growth in that sense. However, stocks like that are incredibly pricey, and you have to be willing to live with a lot of volatility. Now that doesn't mean that a very overvalued stock won't continue to go up and get even more overvalued before it finally corrects. But there is a lot of competition coming ahead for many of these companies. You know, Tesla, again, is a good example. General Motors recently announced that they're really ramping up their electric vehicle business. NIO in China is doing very well. So I don't know. It's difficult for me to believe that a stock like Tesla could keep going up, but, you know, I've been surprised before.
These social media companies, they've been under fire from the government for a while. Now you have some followers of the president say they're leaving some of these platforms. You have just a lot of back and forth and uncertainty there. Should that give people pause about those tech companies?
Yeah, there is a little bit of a concern there. However, I think the tech companies, these social media companies, are doing what they have to do. You know, people have to remember that the Constitution does give you the right to free speech, but that what that means is that the government can't prevent you from speaking. But a social media company is a private company, and they have the right to ban whoever they want, and they have the right to police their platforms the way they want. Now, Congress, of course, can also introduce regulation imposing other types of things for them to abide by. But I think right now they're doing what they have to do, given the violence that we saw last week in Congress.
You got some people who are still thinking about their portfolio 2021 going forward. Maybe they didn't rebalance at the end of last year. What do you advise them, especially given the fact that, as you mentioned earlier, we didn't see some of these stocks collapse after the election like some people had predicted?
Well, in general, I think rebalancing is a very good idea. For example, I get pretty nervous if I have any one position, any individual stock becoming bigger than about 6 or 7% of my portfolio. So I think it's important for investors to take a little profit in the stocks that have run up a lot and put the money to use in stocks that haven't done very well. And I think that's what this whole rotation is about. People have been selling the outperformers from last year and buying the underperformers.
Thanks so much. Always good to have you with us. Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management. Just ahead, Travel Tuesday, planning family trips as people try to scratch their travel itch in the pandemic.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour. There's pent-up demand for family trips, all because of the pandemic. Not necessarily all together, though. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Cindy Richards, Editor-in-Chief of TravelingMom.com here in Chicago. So, Cindy, some families want to split up a little bit. I mean, tell us what that looks like.
Well, we polled our hundreds of thousands of readers at the end of last year, and they told us some interesting stuff. The one that's not so surprising is the first thing everybody wants to do is go hug grandma. We haven't been able to be together because of the pandemic, so everybody's figuring out a way to either go and see the grandparents as soon as it's safe or have the grandparents come and visit them so everybody can be together for a little bit.
And so, yeah, that's something that they want to do, and that involves travel, obviously, for many people. Are there also just kind of pleasure trips that people are thinking about and booking?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, what we're finding is that a lot of the places are already booked up because they have limited capacity due to the coronavirus. Even places like ski slopes, right, out west, where you think it's outside, lots of people can be there, but they're limiting the number of skiers that can be on the mountain at any given time. So what you want to make sure, you want to book. Go ahead and if you want to go someplace, you think you're going to be ready to go at some point, book it now. Just make sure that you read the fine print before you plop down your credit card so that you know that you can cancel or change your reservation without a penalty, without losing your money before you hit the book now button.
It seems if you're willing to take the risk, you know, if you're willing to sit in an airport, get on a plane, go to a hotel, in some respects, this may be the best time ever. I have a friend who is just in Orlando at Disney World. The place is at capacity limits. They had a fantastic time because they didn't have to wait in line as long as they normally would.
Absolutely. You actually get to do what you want to do. In fact, we have a story on TravelingMom.com that says, thanks to the coronavirus, this is the best year in ages to go skiing for the same reason. You're not going to run into crowds on the slopes. You're not going to run into long waits at the lift lines. You know, it's happening at Disney. It's happening in a lot of places. But because of the limits, you just got to book early.
Yeah, just get it done. And then if you're one of the few that get in there, you actually have a pretty good time. We touched on this earlier, but let's talk about this some more. You have a situation where, yeah, everyone, they want to visit grandma, and that's wonderful. Grandma and grandpa certainly appreciate that. But what about parents maybe wanting to travel without the kids? You know, they've been locked down for a while here. Yeah. I hope my kids aren't listening right now.
I'm guessing
a lot of parents want that.
Honestly, you know, the kids are probably sick of parents, too.
Not my kids, Cindy. No way.
No. But that was the really surprising thing out of our poll of our readers was number one on their list was to take a vacation without the kids. They want to go with their girlfriends. They want to go with the guys. They even want to go with their romantic partners, but they just want to not have the kids along. So I think it kind of combines with wanting to see grandma. No, maybe they're all going to go see grandma and drop the kids off and then go someplace else so that they can be alone because we've all had an awful lot of togetherness this last year.
Is that where you end up with some of the Caribbean destinations, Mexico, those all-inclusives where mom and dad just want to get away and they want to hang out. They don't want to think about anything. They don't want to make any meals or anything like that. And again, if they're willing to take the risk, then those places, maybe it's a good time to go.
Right. And, you know, I mean, what a lot of people are telling us is they're not going to go anywhere until they get a vaccine. And that's fine, too. But again, I can't say this enough. Book it now. So that you know you're going to get a room at the inn when you're ready to go. We're seeing demand for our stories on our all-inclusive resorts and Caribbean. And plus, it is winter in Chicago, Cisco. We do like to get away when it's winter in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I can't wait. Thanks so much, Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of TravelingMom.com. It's Travel Tuesday. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, Fiat Chrysler looks to the sky for a new project.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Fiat Chrysler is partnering with air mobility company Archer to develop an electric flying car. Paul Hochman is here, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show. Paul, kind of give us an idea of what Archer and Fiat Chrysler are trying to do here.
Well, what they're really trying to do is use the size of Fiat Chrysler and its purchasing ability to get cost down on materials and combine that with the roughly 50 engineers, some of them from NASA, others from Boeing and Airbus, who've gotten together at Archer to create really the solution that we've all been looking for a long time, namely electric airborne transportation in the city. The ability to get somebody from one place to another without using clogged roads. And now the particular technology that Archer has right now, their aircraft, which is roughly known as eVTOL, electronic vertical takeoff and landing, goes up to about 60 miles at about 150 miles an hour, so obviously faster than a taxi.
And this is the sort of thing that they would imagine eventually in widespread use or limited use? I mean, what's the end game?
Well, the end game is solve the problem that most major metropolitan areas have. I mean, the benefit of major metropolitan areas is obviously economies of scale. There's a lot of people there. Industries like, say, New York is an easy example. Finance can get there. Entertainment and news can get there because everybody you need, all the resources you need, the personal resources you need are there. The problem is those personal resources are people. There's a lot of them. And getting people back and forth is increasingly expensive. Amazon, for example, is looking for places for its million employees, you know, that are not in cities because it's just too clogged. So the idea here for Archer and Fiat Chrysler is to get people from one place to another without pollution in the air, without noise, by the way. That's very important. And more importantly than ever, dodging traffic.
When I think of something like this, I mean, safety is the first thing that comes to my mind. If you get an accident on the Eisenhower out here, you're on the street. You get an accident in the sky, you're in the sky. I mean, it's a little more dangerous.
Well, you've noted the key difference between automobiles and aircraft. and I think that almost everybody, including, look, the FAA is going to certify this, they think, by 2024, maybe even faster now that there's a partnership between Fiat Chrysler and Archer. But again, you know, safety, absolutely. Safety is a key question. Battery-powered safety. I mean, look, we're talking about what amounts to giant drones. And if the battery runs out, you got issues.
Yeah, it's very true.
If the engines stall, they have technology, the wings, the engineering, and so forth, that conceivably allows it to glide for a while, and that's what they're going to aim for here, too.
Yeah, really, really interesting. You knew the technology's coming. It just seemed way far off, but maybe not so much. Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, thanks for being here. You'll find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.